God, I thank you for being my father. And I thank you for your son. I thank you for your Holy Ghost, who unites us all as one.
Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am John Harvey with the Community Homeowners Group to present to you thought-provoking messages that will not only engage your heart, but will dispel age-old myths and unveil hidden truths that unfold the Word of God.
God, I thank you for being my Father.
Today's song is entitled, To Whom Shall We Go? Today's testimony will be delivered by Sarah Johnson on the Heavenly Journeys.
I'm here to testify about the heavenly journeys that Pastor Daryl G. Hunt has gone on. Each time that he has gone on these journeys, he has received messages from God that he might deliver these messages as gifts unto the people of God. I stand as a witness to the gift that the church has received as a result of the man of God, Daryl G. Hunt. He was taken on heavenly journeys by the Lord so that he might receive messages to deliver unto the people of God. These messages are gifts unto the church whereby we can use for our own spiritual growth. Each of the messages brought about deliverances, and we were blessed to learn more and more about God. The first message has to do with the comings of Christ, from heaven to hell to heaven. If you were brought up in the church like I was, you probably heard of Jesus coming back for his church without spot or wrinkle. This is commonly what is called the second coming of Christ. It was a revelation for me to find out that Christ's ascension from heaven to the earth was really the first coming of Christ, and Christ's resurrection was really the second coming of Christ. So we're still looking for the second coming of Christ. This occurrence has already taken place. Through the birth of Christ, man's redemption was possible. The spirit that God provided for the believer included Jesus also. That spirit was the spirit of Christ. There was a body prepared for that Christ spirit to dwell in, and that body was Jesus' physical body. But the spirit of Christ, which dwelled in him, was in existence long before Jesus was ever born. God's plan for man's redemption was that Jesus would fully submit himself unto the will of God and the spirit of Christ in him, that his death at the cross would save man from his sins. Through the birth of Christ, redemption was possible for man. The spirit that God provided for the believer, including Jesus, was the spirit of Christ. There was a body prepared for the Christ spirit to dwell in, and that body was Jesus' physical body. But the spirit of Christ, which dwelt in him, was in existence long before Jesus was ever born. God's plan for man's redemption was that Jesus would fully submit himself unto the will of God and the Spirit of Christ in him, that his death at the cross would save man from his sins. I mentioned a little about what I previously thought about the second coming of Christ. The Lord revealed to Pastor Hunt the scripture that talks about Elijah the prophet, who must first come before the Lord. In order to fulfill the scripture, Elijah needed to have returned to earth a second time. The Lord revealed that when John the Baptist came on the scene, that prophecy of Elijah returning was fulfilled. To me, this is an amazing example of how God operates by way of his Holy Spirit. Naturally speaking, one would think the same person would have to return, maybe even physically, in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled. But God, in his infinite wisdom, is able to show when his word has been fulfilled, and he is able to bring it to pass. After Jesus has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil through resurrection, the Lord has preserved his church, that the third coming of Christ would be represented by the body, or the church overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, as well as death. We are now in that process. We also received a message on the mature spirit. Dr. Hunt used an analogy of a baby growing up physically in order to show the maturation process for a person as it relates to spiritual matters. I was surprised to learn that Abraham, the one who is called the father of the faithful in the Bible, did not obtain to what the Lord calls the mature spirit. Even to realize there was such a thing as the mature spirit was a revelation unto me. Pastor Hunt shows that Abraham was not born again, so as a result, he could not reach unto the level of the mature spirit. Just as people have to mature and grow naturally, we also have to mature in the things of the spirit. Even Jesus had to be made perfect by those things that he went through while he was in the body. He had to overcome the world of flesh and the devil in perfecting his human spirit. The scripture talks about the people of God growing into perfection to the fullness of the stature of Christ. When this occurs, the person is made perfect. Once God allows for the spirit to move on to perfection, then maturation is inevitable. At this point, we are at the mature spirit. These things are declared by God, and only God is able to show when one has reached that level. God revealed unto Dr. Hunt that we're now operating at what is called the third level of faith. The third level of faith comes as one is able to operate in the overcoming power of the Lord Christ. Of course, one must receive of the Spirit of Christ in order to operate in the overcoming power of the Lord Christ. This is the reason why Abraham was not honored to move on to the level of the mature spirit. Dr. Hunt also talks about the third level of faith. But in order for one to receive the third level of faith, that person must believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ of God and that he is the wisdom and power of God. Not the physical man Jesus, but the spirit of Christ that was found in Jesus. This witness of the perfection of the saints is found in the Bible. The Hebrew writer tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, along with Moses, David, and the prophets, and all God's holy people of the Old Testament obtained a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. God had provided something better for us, his church, that we should be made perfect.
Today's message is being brought to you by Don Williams, entitled The Twofold Ministry of Character and Economic Development.
The topic before us today is the twofold ministry of character and economic development. We witness in the Bible on many occasions where God's people were given directives and as a result knew and understood what their ministries entail. For example, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the instructions of Christ to the church says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them," that's verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This is seen by many as the great commandment or the great commission to the church. Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Christ was given unto Jesus, and Christ represents the wisdom and the power of God. Jesus absent the Christ means the church has no power and no wisdom. That bears repeating. If we are talking about Jesus absent the Christ, it means then that the church as a body has no power and no wisdom. As the church comes to know Christ as the wisdom and power of God, then the church can fulfill this commandment or this commission of baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Why do I say this? Baptism is not about water. It is about imbuing the minds of the people of God to an understanding of, firstly, who Christ is, which is the name of the Father, who they are in Christ, the name of the Son, and the coming to maturity of that understanding of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist's ministry was outlined as, For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In John 14, verse 12, it's the words of Jesus Christ is recorded, where he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. I specifically recall these instances in the Bible to show that those called of God were given a specific ministry and demonstrated understanding of that ministry to which they were called. In this time, the ministry that God has given to the church is twofold: character development and economic development. The ministry given to the church is for all believers, all in the body of Christ. No matter where that ministry is located, this ministry may be manifested differently depending on where the portion of the body is in their walk before the Lord. And as I said, it does not matter where the ministry is located, what the church is called. That ministry that God has given to the church is for all believers. And that ministry in this new day is character development and economic development. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, it is written, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? This bears, the understanding of this is necessary, because even in Paul's day, there were people trying to affiliate themselves and separate themselves, that they were of Paul. Then there were some that were saying they were of Apollos, and then there was the other group of Cephas, and then the other group of Christ. But what Paul had them to realize is that Christ is not divided. There is one gospel, there is one message, there is one ministry. Now, let's talk about character development. When we say character development, what exactly are we talking about? In a nutshell, character development is about coming to an understanding of Jesus as the Christ. It's the building up of all parts of a man: spirit, soul, and body. So character development is the coming to an understanding of Jesus as the Christ. It is the building up of all parts of a man: the spirit, the soul, and the body. When the character of Christ is built in the heart, a perfect work would have occurred in a man's soul, and the soul at that point would then mirror the spirit. I had been taught for years that Christ is an office or a function that Jesus held, and as such understood at that time that Jesus had the authority. Now, having come to understand the character of Christ, I can no longer hold on to the notion that Christ is an office or a function. If I continue in that vein, I'll be missing out on the person of Christ, his wisdom, and his authority operating in me. Jesus, the man, identifies with flesh, but Christ identifies with the spirit. The Bible tells us to put on Christ, to put on the spirit. The Bible calls for each member of the body to be perfect. Christ says, I and the Father are one. This is possible only in the Spirit. The Bible tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. My hope of perfection comes because of the perfection of the Spirit of Christ. True character development is a display of what is in the heart of an individual. You cannot judge character development by a momentary display of someone's behavior. You have to know that true character is really a display of what is in the heart. And we know that only Christ, only God knows the heart of a man. Let's talk a little bit about economic development. Economic development can be viewed from an inward or an outward perspective. And when I talk about an inward perspective of economic development, we're talking about that spiritual perspective. In the outward sense, emphasis is placed on production, it's placed on distribution, and it's placed on consumption of any tangible or physical goods and services. And therefore, that's the process by which in this world we amass wealth. Generally speaking, when you look at economic development, it's about what you do from point A to point B in order to amass wealth. But let's look at it from an inward perspective. To be economically developed inwardly or spiritually, it is to be at a place in your walk with God where His character is formed in you. You are producing fruits meet for the Master's use. You're sharing these fruits with others, and you're constantly renewing your mind. Character development is focused on the individual, but economic development becomes the dispensing mechanism by which all that is learned is shared with others. The goal is to cultivate these character traits in others, hence becoming a mentor to others. As the people of God depend on Him, the strengthening of their soul results. As they trust Him, the joining of the soul and the spirit occur. As this happens, the work of character and economic development is at its peak. Character development focuses on the soul being stripped of its likes, being stripped of its dislikes, its will, and its way. As this stripping occurs, the soul begins to yield and learn the ways of the Spirit and become spiritually sound, spiritually sustained. Hence, the putting off of the flesh. At this point, economic development starts to take hold. I am going to share with you maybe you can call it a concept, or a very easy way of remembering and looking at character development. And this should be a very powerful thing for each of us. Let's talk about the name Goma. And I'm sure at some point you've either heard of Goma or you will hear of Goma throughout these 30 days of broadcast. Goma is a nondescript character reference that we use. It's an acronym. And if you look at GOMA, G stands for goodness, O stands for obedience, M for maturity, and A for assurance. The names of God reveal His character. To do anything in His name is to do it under His authority and in His likeness. Hence, there is none good but God. Oftentimes we hear people, both men and women, declare themselves to be good. Someone may ask you, how are you doing? You say, you're good. And sometimes we do this without realizing that there is really none good but God. And in doing this, we're committing a gross error. Now, obedience is the fount from which multitude of blessings will flow. Obedience to the word of God is not optional for a child of God. It is a very essence of character development. Obedience is not an outward act of compliance alone, but rather it is the inward disposition of the heart where agreement with God is established, followed by outward compliance. So obedience is not about the outward act. It's really the inward disposition of the heart where the heart agrees with God, and in that, the outward behavior will follow. Maturity is equated with adulthood. Maturity is a hallmark of character development. To be mature is to be steadfast in the face of any odds that is against you. Assurance, the final word, is a word given unto another to do something. Assurance in the unbroken, unfailing promises of God's word demonstrates the development of the full-blown Christ character in the hearts of believers. Over time, faith produces assurance in God's word. Obedience, however, is the very essence of character development because it is the vehicle to move us from faith to faith. People of God, let us continue to trust God and move from faith to faith.
The production you have just heard has been developed from many revelations from the Little Book series, The Law of Natural Anointing, Which Jesus, Heavenly Messages for Overcoming Death, authored by Dr. Daryl G. Hunt. We pray you have been edified by the word spoken on this day, and that your heart is inclined to want to know more.
I'm thankful every day for all of your blessings. For all of your blessings. God, I thank you for being my Father.